Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath on this rainy and soggy day. It's good to be together. We're delighted to have Senior Zach Kronquist as our speaker this morning, and I know many of you have come to hear him, and so we look forward to his inspiring message. We'll also be participating in the practice of Holy Communion, and here at Gustavus, we practice open table communion, which means that wherever you are in your journey with God, you're welcome to participate in that meal of God's grace. If you do not feel comfortable participating for whatever reason, you can either choose to come forward for a blessing or remain in your seat. Both are fine. I invite you now to stand for our opening prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, thank you for this new day, a new day to serve you and your people, a new day to experience your love through our daily work. Help us to bring our whole selves into this time of worship, that we might be strengthened for the day ahead and nourished by your word of love. Amen. Now we are going to sing a hymn requested by Zach, so if you find the light red hymnal somewhere in front of you, and find hymn number 574. 574. And we're just going to sing verses 1 and 3.
Holy Wisdom, Holy Word.
Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, what a time to be alive. My name is Zach Greenquist, as Siri mentioned earlier, and I'm a senior here at Gustavus. And before I share my message, I just want to remind you that whoever you are and however you are welcome here. And wherever you are in your journey of faith, God meets you here. So last summer, I was incredibly fortunate to serve a congregation in Vancouver, Washington, as part of a ministry internship. The internship was coordinated through Messiah Lutheran Church, a vibrant community rooted in the ELCA tradition. The internship was designed specifically for college students who are discerning a call to ministry, and it was my hope that this 11-week internship would give me the chance to test drive this whole being a pastor thing and help me decide if that was the route I wanted to go with my life. During my time at Messiah, I had the opportunity to preach, sit in on pastoral care, help with vacation Bible school, volunteer at service events, and so much more. But without a doubt, my favorite experience was the church's annual Wallowa Mountain backpacking trip. The Wallowa Mountains are a mountain range located in the Columbia Plateau of northeastern Oregon. The range runs approximately 40 miles northwest to southwest, with the Blue Mountains to the west and the Snake River to the east. The trip was 6 days and 5 nights, and everything we needed for the trip we had to carry on our backs. After squeezing all the essentials into my gigantic backpack, there was basically zero room left, but I managed to force my beloved hammock and a book inside. We left the church parking lot at 5 a.m., which is an ungodly hour to be awake, on Friday, August 4th, and began the 6-hour drive to the trailhead. We stopped twice, once for breakfast, and then again for lunch, which didn't feel super necessary because all I did was sit in the car between the meals. But you should probably stock up on normal food, right? And after successfully navigating potholes and fallen rock, our cars made it to the trailhead. We all used a normal toilet one last time. And then we heaved our 50-pound backpacks onto our backs and journeyed into the woods sitting at the base of the surrounding mountains. To say it was a whole new world in the Wallowas would be an understatement. Any expectations I had were shattered. There were wildflowers of every kind. There were prairie grasses, trees of every variety, and small streams trickling alongside the path. I saw many deer and moose and a few bighorn sheep, and the air had a freshness to it that made breathing addicting. It seemed that everywhere I looked, I saw nature in pristine form, untouched by the forces of industrialization and development. It was God's creation in its authentic, unhindered state. Perhaps my favorite experience at this place was at our last campsite. It was located at the base of three of the mountains, and I can still see this campsite so vividly in my memory. I remember that in front of me there was this large stream laden with rocks and fallen logs. The water gurgled along at a pretty decent pace, emitting a soft sound, which was very calming and proved to be quite meditative. Towering behind and above the stream was that gigantic mountain that in all its vastness caused a premature sunset each evening as the sun dipped below its peak, casting fiery shades of orange and yellow and red on the jagged horizon. Behind me was our campsite. Sprawled out on the ground was everyone's gear, and in the middle of it all, a crackling fire. The smell of burning wood filled the space and evoked a homey warmth inside me. Finally, to the left and right of me were miles of prairie, deciduous forest, and splotches of desert. And there I was, sitting in the middle of it all, suspended 3 feet in the air in my blue and gray hammock. I was reading a book that I packed titled Landscape as Sacred Space, Metaphors for the Spiritual Journey. And I just want to read a quick excerpt from this book to give you an idea of what this book is about. Landscape metaphors provide a common language and familiar imagery through which to articulate and critique the Christian spiritual journey. Most people can imagine what a mountaintop spiritual experience is like, with its warm, fuzzy feelings and renewed spiritual energy. The pure excitement of a close encounter with God stirs our imaginations and awakens us to the reality of God's presence. On the other end of the emotional spectrum, most people also know the loneliness and fear of a spiritual desert. The spiritual deserts are often filled with confusion, fear, and empty spaces, which we interpret as divine abandonment. In addition, there is another, less recognized landscape, the valley, or the ordinary. By its very nature, the ordinary goes unnoticed. The valley is the place where we dwell, grow, work, and play. It is our spiritual home to which we return after our sojourns into the spiritual deserts or our visits to the mountaintops. These landscape metaphors invite and on a certain level grant us permission to struggle in the spiritual deserts, rejoice in the mountaintops, and embrace valleys as spiritual places where the ordinary becomes sacred. What was so cool about my experience reading this book in my hammock in the Wallowan Mountains is that I was surrounded by the very landscapes I was reading about. As I looked up at the mountain before me, I was reminded of several exciting times in my life and spiritual journey. I thought about my summers at camp, where I got to play field games, sing songs, and dance and worship, swim in the lake, eat lots of candy from the canteen, and watch the counselors do funny skits, all with 100 other kids my age. The overwhelming joy of the Lord was so present in that place. I also thought back to my 9th grade confirmation retreat, which was called TECH, Teens Encounter Christ. This was a time when I had a profound and life-changing encounter with the love and grace of God. It was in that place where I felt the palpable breath of the Holy Spirit moving in and around me, calling me boldly into the future with the confident assurance that God would be with me wherever I went. As I turned my gaze back over to the desert, I thought about my grandma and the battle she lost to Alzheimer's disease. It was heartbreaking to watch a woman who was so incredibly loving and full of life slowly lose her sense of self. First, she lost her short-term and working memory. It was hard for her to remember if she had already put a particular ingredient in a recipe or if she had already gotten mail from the mailbox. And then she began to forget bigger things like birthdays, names, family history, and other notable events in her life. Finally, I remember sitting at her bedside when she was just days away from death. She lay there comatose, breathing heavy, heart thumping, completely unaware of her surroundings, an empty shell of a person. I remember being sad, scared, confused, and feeling abandoned by God. How could this happen? What good was there to come from this? Finally, as I turned my attention to the valley directly behind me, I reflected on all the activities that make up my day-to-day life. Ordinary things like cooking, going to class, driving, spending time with friends, and watching movies come to mind. These activities aren't anything special in their own right, but they are the things that form my everyday life. They are what have allowed me to learn and grow into the person I am today. And while it is easy to adopt an attitude of apathy in the valley, I have strove to look for the small moments of joy and meaning that are bundled up in each day. As I was sitting there, reflecting on these various stories and events in my spiritual journey, I couldn't help but feel in awe of the surrounding landscape and how it seemed to be mirroring these stories and events back to me. It was like creation was engaged in my spiritual journey with me, saying, "Hey, you're not alone. I am right here with you." In addition to my own story, I also saw the story of Jesus' death and resurrection powerfully and beautifully reflected in the landscape around me. I was reminded that even in the midst of the desert, when all hope is lost and fear seems to be consuming me, that it is not the end of the story. There are valleys and mountains on the horizon. Dear friends, I want to leave you with these reminders. If you are on the mountaintop right now, that is incredible. Enjoy it, take in the view, and rejoice that you are alive and well. but also know that you cannot reside there permanently. You will have to make the trek down and return to the valley at some point. If you are in the desert right now, know that this is not the end of your story. Know that you are loved and valued, and that there is a God who will provide for you and be with you every step of the way. Your days in the desert are numbered, and you will return to the valley soon. Finally, if you are in the valley right now, embrace the ordinary. Look for the small pockets of joy and meaning that are surely present in each day. Give thanks that you are alive, that you are working and growing and learning. Living fully into the present, into the valley, will prepare you for your trips to the mountaintop and your visits to the desert. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, know that God is present and will be with you wherever you go. Amen.
Please stand as you are comfortable. Jesus chose to spend his last night on earth eating with his friends. He took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink, this cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Whenever we share this bread and cup, we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All are welcome to this meal of God's grace. We will have two stations, and we'll start with folks sitting in the front coming forward to those stations. There is a gluten-free option as well as grape juice, so please let your servers know if you need those. You may be seated.
Thank you.
singing our blessing song in the body of Christ. If you need to run off to a class, please know that we understand that and won't be offended either. Thank you for coming today. Love and to serve. Thanks be to God.